for your presence, your tangible, heavy presence in this place. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's everything to us. Everything to us. We appreciate you. We recognize, appreciate, welcome that presence in our midst tonight. And Lord, thank you because tonight, just like you've done yesterday, this morning, you will speak to us again. You will touch us again. You will do the things that only you can do once again. Job says, you alone does wondrous works. Thank you, because you alone does wondrous works. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Sadly, we will not have our guest minister in this session. He had flight issues from the U.S., but that's okay. Can I hear you say that's okay? God's with us. God's words with us. He sends his profuse apologies. He was very, very sad about it because not only was he coming here, he had a whole lot of family things arranged. And he was coming with his family and all of that. So it's a huge, huge blow to them. However, I know you've been praying. I've been praying. And I know that God has great things in store for us. Amen. And if you remember what we were saying yesterday, when things don't go the way you planned them, you must remember God is still in charge. You must remember he still has your back. You must remember he has a plan. Hallelujah. You must know that he knows. You must know that he's not caught unawares. He's not caught unprepared. He's not throwing up his hands in despair and saying, what we will do now? Amen. But God is ready. Hallelujah. The real question is, are you ready? I said, are you ready? Let me ask your neighbor, say, are you ready? So we'll have a wonderful time. I sense it mightily within me. Amen. That we'll have a great time. And the evening services are Holy Ghost services for Power Convention. Tomorrow we'll have a special type Holy Ghost service as well. And then, of course, we'll close on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Go to Joshua chapter 6, if you will. But yesterday I've been speaking on the victor's mentality. Actually, victor's mentality. How does a victor think? You know, how does he think? And we spoke about the fact that primarily you will have to know that you know that you know that God has your back. You'll have to know that you know that you know that God loves you. You have to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is with you and God cares about every detail of your life and is watching over every detail of your life. That is even more so when things are not going the way you wish they were going. When things are not going according to plan, that's more the time you need that conviction. But God really has my back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's when you need to know that God loves me, and that's enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, if you were here this morning, we were hearing some of that as Pastor Joba was teaching, and he was talking about the fact that when he became a father, he understood the fatherhood of God, and the fact that his daughter runs around. You know, sometimes it's annoying, isn't it? It's annoying how children just throw needs at you, isn't it? Mommy, I want. Daddy, I want. You know, and you attempted to say what? Do you think that I pluck money from trees? Don't ever say that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't ever say that. Say to them, God will provide. As long as you agree with that desire, say, God will provide. Go and believe God with me. But don't ever tell them, do you think I pick money on the road? Are you still there? Because why shouldn't you pick money on the road? Are you still with me, anybody? So tell them, join your faith with mine, that God will provide and will be able to get that desire met. You know, and he said, you know, that, I mean, the daughter is just going all over the place, and sometimes he's up at night and he's thinking and planning and strategizing. Oh, she will need this, she will need that. And then he understood. But the same way that you and I think about our lives, God is our father. And while we are thinking and we are going to bed, God is thinking about every detail of your life. That's what Psalm 37 verse 23 said to us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he cares about every detail of your life. We read this morning also 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, which says, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And the Amplifier says, he cares for you affectionately, and he cares for you what? Watchfully. You know, cares for you affectionately means that there is emotion involved. He cares, he loves you, but it doesn't stop there. Look at your neighbor, say it doesn't stop there. When he says he cares for you watchfully, meaning that he actually takes action. He is watching for the things that you need ahead of time, the ones that are in your past that are affecting you, and is watching everything and taking care of each and every one of those things. So he doesn't just feel for you, but he does something about it. Are you with me? You know, one of my own favorite scriptures in that regard is Psalm 103 verse 13. The Bible says that as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. You know, the way you look at your child, you, but mafumbe. You know, so the same way God looks at, even sometimes you are making a mistake and he's thinking, yeah, but I will help him. Are you hearing me? That's why the psalmist also said that he widens the ground beneath my feet so that my feet will not slip. Meaning that I would make mistakes ordinarily and I would have slipped. But what God does very often is that he will just extend this step. I was going to slip, but he will extend it a bit. And I didn't for me, I'm now doing younger. But I didn't know that God just helped me. Are you there? But he will do it. Why? Because he is my father. It's like you watching your child and your child is about to fall into a ditch. And you say, hey, let him learn a lesson. You know that when he falls into the ditch, he will break his hand. And say, we learn. No, you won't. You will go there and grab him and say, we have been telling you not to go there, but you don't want him to break his arm. Are you following what I'm saying? So the victor's mentality is that conviction that I'll do my best to walk with God. But even no matter what, even in spite of, irrespective of, no matter what, God has my back. Hallelujah. And this morning I woke up and the Lord was speaking to me about the SOPs for victory. SOPs ordinarily would mean standard operating procedures. You know, what are the procedures for victory? And he was speaking to me from Joshua chapter 6. So I'll ask you to go to Joshua chapter 6. And we'll read from there. Joshua the 6th chapter. We'll read the first 5 verses. Are you there yet? Joshua chapter 6. You know, God, almost gone are the days when people have to open their Bibles, isn't it? And it says page 565. And you're, even without that, if you're a good Bible student, you know where it is. You know which book comes before it, you know. So you're just flipping and going through. Now everybody's cheating. Because you just open electronic Bible, so everything is listed before you, you're all cheating. In those days, we used to be ashamed to open the table of content. Because when you open the table of content, it means that you don't read your Bible. You understand? If you have been reading that Bible, if it's a Bible you have been using for long enough, when you do like this, you just pick one part of the page and you do like this, it will open to that book. Or it will just be the very next book to it because you are so used to where that book falls among those pages. So when somebody is there and you are struggling, you can't find it, and then you want to look at table of content, you will just too tired to look at it so that they will not know that brother doesn't read his Bible. Are you still there? Joshua chapter 6 verse 1. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, you know, that comes with an exclamation mark. Almost like yesterday when we were praying in the evening and Pastor Funke was talking about what the guy at Acts chapter 10. And, you know, I'm saying that because the Bible, you'll have to read the Bible sometimes, be a little more patient and read everything very well. You know, and Peter was talking to God. And God said to Peter, he had a trance. And he let down these animals that were considered dirty. And they are not supposed to eat as Jews. And God said, you know, arise, kill and eat. And he said, Not so, Lord. He said, for I've never eaten any animal like this since my youth. This kind of dirty animals. But actually what he said, if you look at it, it had exclamation mark. Meaning, not only, I mean, saying not so, Lord, is contradictory. Because you can't say Lord and you say not so. You understand what I'm saying? You can't tell the Lord not so. If he's Lord, then it must be yes. Okay? Just like Jesus was talking about. And he said, how is it that you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? That's John chapter 6, 46. How do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? So the same way, Peter had this trance, and he said, not so, Lord. So he knew this was from the Lord, and he said, not so, Lord. But when you read it, the exclamation is there. So what he actually said, not so, Lord! So he was actually rebuking him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Total contradiction. Rebuke, not so, Lord! Are you still with me, anybody? So God says here, see, meaning look very well. He shouted at him, see. He said, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days, and 7 days shall bear, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march round the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpet. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of a trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. So 3 things I'm going to say to you tonight about the SOPs or standard operating procedures for victory. Number one is that you have to walk by faith. God said to him, verses 1, verse 2, he said to us, now Jericho was securely shut up. Securely shut up. Can I hear you say securely shut up? Securely shut up is when you have locked the door. You know, I came from a place recently, and they don't lock their doors. All the doors are open. Everybody goes to bed with the doors open. And I thought, lahakuli. You know, and actually my hosts, as I was leaving, my hosts were also leaving, and they were traveling for holidays. And they said, I said, what about your doors? They said, yeah, it's going to be open like that. Nothing is going to happen. Nobody is going to steal. I say, oh my God, have mercy upon my country, Nigeria. May we be able to live. Look, when I'm in, you know, when I'm in the house, I lock the front door. Eh? I lock it with the key. Then there's another latch at the top. I lock it. Then I go, the back door is locked that goes into the kitchen. Then I lock the kitchen door. So if you enter that one first, you still have another door. You can't enter. Then I go up and I enter my bedroom. Then I lock the door. So before you can even reach me, you have how many doors? Now it says Jericho was securely shut up. Securely shut up. Because of these people. And God said, see, I have given you Jericho. It means that you can't be looking at what you see in the physical. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is faith. Faith does not look at the obvious, doesn't look at what is staring you in the face. Faith takes the instructions of God against the physical evidence. If you were here this morning, we're hearing about instructions from God. Faith is what you need. The number one SOP for victory is that you have to walk by faith. It's not an option. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith is not an option. It's not a choice. When he says that we walk by faith and not by sight, that's our lifestyle. That's what that scripture is talking about. He's saying our lifestyle is a lifestyle of faith. Are you with me, anybody? It means that in everything that we do, we must apply faith. They were looking at Jericho. If you stare at Jericho in the physical, it's securely shut up. They locked everywhere. And guess what? The wall of Jericho is considered to be very thick wall. I'm involved in a construction project. I was still in Abuja this week. And I was talking to the architect. And I said, look, we need to have a ramp here for disability access. And we said, look, to create that ramp, he said, maybe they'll build something here. We said, why don't you just cut this place so that it slides down? The guy looked at us and he laughed. He said, you don't know what you are talking about. He said, you see what? Do you know what is in this floor? He said, do you know the concrete that is in this floor? Then he gave us whatever MMU engineers talk about. He said, this concrete is so MM. He said, so that cut you just talked about, he said, that cut is work. He said, it is real work. I would rather avoid trying to cut this place, and I would rather build something on top of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And yet they said they built Jericho, and that wall is not a fence like this fence. They said that fence is a fence on which you can have chariots, about 7 of them, riding side by side. On top of the fence of Jericho, and then the gate of Jericho was securely locked up. How do you get in? And there are mighty men of valor on the inside. And then God says to him, see, that place you are looking at, I have given it to you. How? How do I get into that place? How do I penetrate that place? It's impenetrable in the natural, but we do not look at the things that we see. We look at the things that we do not see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the things that are seen are temporary, and they are subject to change by the things that we do not see. Can I have an amen? You'll have to get to that place where you start looking through God's eyes and not just by your physical eyes at the things that you can see. Are you still with me? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it? He said, it is our faith. The secret ingredient of our victory is what? Our faith in God. Are you hearing me? If you will overcome, if you will penetrate the Jericho and seize the Jericho that God has given to you, then you can't go by the things that you see. You'll have to start looking beyond the things that you can see. When God, listen, it's easy to read the Bible, but when you read the Bible, please remember that they are not just Bible stories. When I was young, we had our book of Bible stories, and it was just like novel. To us, they will tell us the story about Abraham. They will tell us the story about Sarah. They will tell us about Jacob. And we'll read all of these nice stories. But excuse me, they are stories about real people who walk with a real God. And their experiences in life, their challenges in life, and how they overcame those challenges. If you go to the book of Hebrews, it's mentioned there that it's by faith that they took hold of Jericho. Nothing in the natural, nothing about the story of taking Jericho over is meaningful or rational or makes sense in the natural. There's no way they could have. Are you hearing me? For instance, there's even no way. We're buying this building. There's no way in the natural, I kid you not, that we will buy this place. Those who know. There's no way in the natural, but we believed what God has said. So God doesn't. The key thing to know is that God doesn't speak as we speak. And he doesn't speak using the physical circumstances that we can see, but we'll have to take God's word above every other evidence. Are you with me? You'll have to accept and hold on and bite on to God's word beyond everything else that you can see. If you must overcome. Go to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. You know, God has a way of speaking that when he's talking about things, you will have to ask God sometimes and say, God, do you understand the full scope of the problem? Are you with me? You want to explain to God that this promise you are making, let's discuss first the problem, the size of the problem, before you make the promise. It's like sometimes I'm ministering on a healing line and somebody wants to stop you first to explain. That actually, you see, my own problem, it's not today it started though. It has been there since. I've been praying, I've been believing God, I've gone to this hospital, I've gone to that one, nothing has worked. I've fasted, I've even done 21 days, biddy, and nothing has worked. I said, why are you explaining all this one? It's not me, it's God. And if it's God, nothing is impossible. Are you hear what I'm saying? That's what he said in Acts chapter 16, verse 8, when Paul on trial, and he said, why are you people thinking that it is incredible that God should raise the dead. That we're not talking about anybody else. If we're talking about God, it removes the incredibility. You know, incredible means that it's difficult or it's a challenge with credibility. That is, it's difficult to think that this is a credible story. And he was saying, we have been telling the gospel story and you are putting us on trial for the gospel story. He said, but why do you think it impossible that God should raise the dead? Why? If it's God, it shouldn't be impossible. If we're talking about a person, then we can start questioning things. But if there is a real God, and is that God we're talking about, then impossibility is removed. Are you hearing me? In the book of Numbers, they were in the desert. And the people began to complain. Numbers 11, I believe it was. They began to complain. And they were saying, we have been eating this carbohydrate for too long. But they taught us that we need balanced diet. They said, so we need meat. In fact, when we were in Egypt, we used to eat meat, bokoto, abodi, and everything. He said, but now that you have brought us here, we are just here eating all we have, they said, is this manna. All we have is this manna. That manna, do you know the meaning of the word manna? It means, what is this? They have never seen that kind of thing before. Manna was a miracle for a while. Manna was exciting for a while. But trust human nature. They had gone back to doubting the God who gave them food from heaven that was falling from heaven that they had never seen before. And the first time they collected, they said, hey, what is this manna? What is this? What is this? And now they stood and they began to say, all we have is this manna. What about meat? And then Moses turned to God. And God said, Moses, don't worry. I'm going to feed them with meat till it's coming out of their nostrils. They will so eat meat that the sight of meat will irritate them. Moses said, God, calm down. It looks like you are getting excited or angry. He said, calm down. Is your GPS working? Do you know where we are? He said, we're in the middle of nowhere. Where will you get meat to feed this number of people? Before you start talking too much, check our location again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people are saying to God, check my location again. I'm in Nigeria. How can you bless me? He said, God, check. Is your phone working? Look at the GPS, Google Maps, and check. See where I am. That's what Moses was telling God. And God said to Moses, he said, Moses, since when did my hand become short? When did I become weak? When did I change? I'm the same God that led you through the Red Sea. Why are you asking me that kind of question? He said, I will feed them. It will come out of their nose. And God gave them that meat indeed. Are you hearing me? I'm saying to you that don't be confused. God's word is the most important thing you need. And once you have that word, that's what faith is. Faith is acting like God's word is true. You have God's word and you take it and you just behave like that is the correct thing. Nothing else in the physical moves you. Jericho was securely shut up. But God was saying something else. He said, see. He said, God, we can see. The fence is very thick. The gate is very big and heavy. Padlock is huge like this. God said, no. See, I have given you Jericho. Are you still with me? And you'll have to believe it against what? All odds. Can I have an amen? You know, in Psalm 105. Let's go to Psalm 105. That's scripture I wanted us to read. Psalm 105. It's a popular scripture that we read. You know. But I think many times we really don't get the concept or the context of that scripture. So God says here in Psalm 105 and verse 8, it says he remembers, that is God, he remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. Meaning that when God has spoken it, that word is valid. Valid, and it continues to be valid. You can hang on to that word forever. It does not expire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Until it comes to pass, it doesn't expire. You hang on to that word. Don't give up on that word. Stay with that word. So he said, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his hope to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob. So he was talking about generations. So what he has said was passing through generations for fulfillment, still going down generations. It's not been fulfilled, but God said it, so it's still going down generations. And he said he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute and to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When did he say it? That's just what I want you to see. He said, when did he say it? He said, when they were few in number. Indeed, very few. And strangers in it. So they had a double problem. God said, I will give you the land. But the people you are talking to are very few. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not only are they very few, they have no rights. They are strangers in that land. And God is saying, I'll give you the land. When God began to speak to us years ago and said, I give you the land. I give you this place. We were even fewer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we were tenants. And God said, I've given you this place. See, I've given it to you. And we're declaring it. I still remember when I was saying, I said, it will come to pass. So some people will be watching. Some are doubting. I said, it's better you participate so that the joy of the fulfillment will be yours. I said, but whether you do or not, once God has said it, it will happen. Now we are at that point. Are you with me? And you know, we don't do pool for money and blah, blah, blah. Those who have given, I've given. Those who have not, I've not given. But what God said stands. What God has spoken stand. He says, so what I want you to see is just like he was saying, contradictory to what Jericho looked like, the same way he was telling Jacob, and he said, look, I will give you this land of Canaan, the promise he had made to his father. And the Bible says he was saying it when they were few. And indeed, very few, and they were strangers. So it was the last thing they could have imagined. And God was saying, I've given you. God will be saying things to you that you'll be saying, me. Will that ever come to pass? Listen, all you have to do is say, thank you, Lord, because you have given me your word. You have given me your word. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, I watch over my word to perform it. Meaning that as long as my word has gone forth, I stick with it. In Isaiah, he spoke and he said, the word of the Lord is like the rain and the dew that comes, that falls on the ground. He said, and it cannot fall to the ground without watering the ground before and return to him. Meaning that the word of the Lord is like that dew. He said that when that rain is falling, it's impossible for rain to fall and the ground is still dry. The purpose for which the rain is falling is to wet the ground. He said it must do it before it evaporates and returns. Are you hearing me? He's saying that's the same way that God's word works. Meaning that the only day you are permitted to start doubting God's word is when rain is falling and it's not touching the ground and it's going back up. That day you can start doubting God's word. Are you with me? Now, I'm not done with Psalm 105. Very quickly, I need to move faster though. He says, so he spoke verse 12 when they were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, remember he's talking about Jacob here. He said he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. You know what many of us, including myself, have thought for very long time, is that he was talking about when they came out of Egypt. And he brought them out of Egypt. That's when he was saying all of this to them. No. All of this was being said to Jacob. All of these things was being said to Jacob. As a matter of fact, if you have a good reference Bible, it will reference Genesis 35. But when he was saying this, he had made Jacob a promise. He said, I will give you this land. But they had a crisis. Because in Genesis 34, Jacob's children made a mistake. Their sister had been raped by the people of the land that they were in at the time. And then they went and they planned a revenge attack and they killed all the men of that city. Told all of them, well, it's okay, you've raped our sister, it's fine. We will allow you to marry our daughters and all that. However, it's only on one condition. All your men must be circumcised. Like us. And the people say, is that all? It's okay. It's okay. And all of them were circumcised at once. And while they were in pain, they attacked them and killed all the men. And Jacob said, now all the surrounding cities will attack us. We're just a family. They will attack us. They will destroy us. But God had made him a promise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the Bible says, as they went, if you read Genesis 35, verse 5, the Bible says the terror of the Lord fell upon all of them. The terror of the Lord. So God was protecting him and saying, my promise that I will give you this land must come to pass. These guys can't even attack you, even now that you have done wrong. You understand what I'm saying? You understand the power of God's word. God said, I've spoken, and that word must come to pass. Your life must be preserved. Even when you have made a mistake and people are after you, I must preserve you because my word must come to pass. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Number two, you'll have to follow God's instructions. If you just came, our text is Joshua chapter 6. So verse 1. Verse 2, he said, Jericho was securely shut up, but God said the opposite of what it looked like. God said, I've given it to you. See, I've given it to you. You have to start saying right. Are you with me, anybody? You have to start saying right. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was speaking, and he asked them, he said, who do men say that I am? And the disciples began to say all sorts of things. Some say you are this, some say you are that. He said, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter only spoke up and he said, you are the son of a living God. And he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then the next moment he began to tell them about his death. And Peter pulled him aside and again he rebuked him. The Bible said, rebuked him. Stop talking like that. Baba Elima Sorobe now. We've left everything to follow you now. And he rebuked him. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, why? He said, because you are not seeing things from God's perspective, you are seeing them from man's perspective. Every time you leave God's perspective for man's perspective, you are walking on the track of the devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every time you are just walking in the rational, every time you are just walking in the physical, every time everything is about natural calculations and imaginations and everything they tell you, they give you a diagnosis, you have gone to Google and whatever Google is law, it says that this is what will happen and that this is what will happen. These are the chances that you can be cured. These are the chances. And you follow all of that hook, line, and sinker, you are on the devil's track. Are you hearing me? But every time you will take God's word above all of the physical evidence, there's nothing wrong with what medical science does. I trained in it. Are you hearing me? But you must learn that there is a superior voice. You must learn that there is a superior opinion. You must learn that there is superior expertise that overwhelms, overrides, completely swallows up every other evidence in the physical. Are you with me? Time will not permit me to tell you some of my personal testimonies. But I have to shut down my mind and say, no, I don't. I won't think that way. I forget all of the mercy that I know now. And I stand on God's word. Are you still with me? But number two, God said to them, this is what you are going to do. So there were instructions. There were instructions. Can I hear you say instructions? If you were not here this morning, listen to the morning's message. There were instructions. The believer's life is about obedience. When God speaks, when God tells you this is what you ought to do, and Pastor Bidio gave us even personal testimony, when God said this is what you need to do, there are instructions. What God has said, you must pay attention to what God says to you. There is a methodology for the now. There is a way to victory in this particular situation. And every time the Holy Ghost prompts you and says, this is what you need to do, do it. It may not be the instruction for all of us, neither might it be the instruction for next time for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? At one point in time, David faced the Philistines. And he asked God, he said, shall I go and fight them? God said, go, you have victory. He went and he fought them and had victory. Then the Philistines retreated, ran away. They came back the second time. And David said, shall I go? And God said, no. God said, wait where you are. He said, when you start hearing sounds on the mulberry tree, he said, then you go. He said, because it means I have gone ahead of you. If he had just gotten up and said, ah, we have done it before. I mean, this is how we do. You know, that's the way it works. Eh? People go to the hospital. They say, this is wrong with me. I have headache. I have fever. I have headache here. They prescribe a drug to them. They use it. And then they get well. They say, ah, that drug really worked though. Then the next week, their friend said, you know, I have headache, I have fever. Ah, they said, there's one drug they give me. There's one drug they give me. Go and use that drug. It's very, very good. In fact, it worked like wonders. By the time I used it one night, poof, I woke up. My body was strong. Ka-kra-ka. They don't know why. What did that? Are you still with me? Or the next time they go and buy the same thing. They don't need the pharmacist or the doctor anymore. He said, you know that drug that time that they gave me? Please, give me again. Are you still there? It doesn't work like that with God. God will give you instructions. And when there are instructions, we go by the book. Okay? But sometimes he will give you specific instruction in that situation and say, this is what you need to do. Go by what God has told you to do. God said to them, you will go around that fence once, but every day for 7 days, you will go around, for 6 days, you'll go around once, every day. And then on the seventh day, you are going to go around that city seven times. And then you will shout, and that wall will fall flat. Now, the question is this. Is it possible that they could have gone around seven times the first day and shouted and the wall could fall flat? Is it possible that God can do that? Eh? So why do they have to first go once for 6 days? God always has a reason behind the instructions. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the reasons that he gives instructions like he did in this case is that God needs to teach us endurance. Can I hear you say endurance? We want everything like fast food. We want it. Somebody was praying and said, God, give me patience and give me now. That's the way we want everything now, isn't it? But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it said we follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Not just through faith. He said there is also patience. That word patience means endurance. That word patience means consistency. People who stay at it. People who continue to do the things they are supposed to do. They continue to make the confession they are supposed to make. They make it for 1 week. They make it for 2 weeks. They make it for three. They make it for 3 months. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But they stick with it. This is what God has said, and they continue to do it. And somebody says, ah, but this thing you are doing, you know, that's what we're saying to Noah, isn't it? God said to Noah, build an ark. Because there is coming a flood. It's a very nice story to read, isn't it? But how long do you figure? Now, they do shipbuilding. We're in modern age. There's a lot of technology. I don't know if you know about shipbuilding. But how long does it take to build a ship? You don't get a ship in 1 month. You don't go and just say, this is where they build ship. I want a ship. Even if it's just a yacht, not big ship to ship anything. It's just a yacht. You want a fancy one to show that you're a rich man. You know, like our president got recently. You don't just go there and say, oh yeah, I want to build it now. And then they say, okay, come back next week. Even with all of the technology. Now, can you imagine a ship that was going to carry all the animals in the world? Huh? It will carry them in pairs, and it was going to be built by one man who was not a ship builder. So he doesn't have experience. So I was trying to fix the doors in our house yesterday, and I said, it's only yesterday that I will be in the house. So we had been planning it. I said, please, that guy must not fail. Is it yesterday or the day before? I said, that's the only day he will find me in that house for weeks. I said, so he must not fail. He must get there. I said, please also ask him, how long will it take for him to fix one door? And the guy said, it will take him about 2 hours. I said, very good. I will arrive that day from Abuja, so I'll be there in the afternoon. I said, he has at least, he will have 4 hours to work on my two doors that he needs to work on. So when I got in, I saw him working on another door already and all of that. And then I waited. So I went to meet the guy and I said, okay. He said, it's 2 hours, it will take you. This one looks like it's not taking you 2 hours. He said, I didn't understand how they hinged this door. I said, but you have used this one to learn. So when you come now, you finish this one, you come to my own, you will move faster. He said, yes. He said, from that one, I've learned my lessons. Now I know this door, and I know how these doors, my neighbor's one. He said, and now I know how these doors are put together. What I'm saying to you is that there is expertise required. Noah was not a shipbuilder. And it was to build a big ship to carry all the animals in pairs. A ship big enough and that would not sink. The Titanic, the biggest ship built at some point in time, sank on its first journey. Noah was to build one for the greatest flood on the earth, and it was not to sink, and it would carry all the animals. And Noah alone was building, while others were laughing. What am I driving at? How long did you think that it took Noah? And with people walking by, and they say, Noah, what did you say you are doing? So I'm building a ship. They say, ship? Since when did you start building a ship? Who are you? They say, well, in fact, by the way, why are you building a ship? He said, there's coming a great flood. They say, no. This guy has lost his mind. And then they will come next week. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I say, no, it has not rained though. This is your flood. When is it coming, by the way? Did God give you date? Then Noah was continuing for months. They will come again and say, Noah, you are still there. This man, he said, don't turn completely. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But Noah stuck with the instructions. He had the instruction from God. This is the pattern you will build it by. This is the length of this part. This is the breadth of this part. And Noah kept hammering away and building away and hammering away. And people were laughing. Even Jesus quoted Noah and talked about Noah. He said, the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. When the people were laughing and say, ha ha, when will this thing happen? So even Jesus used a reference, the way they laughed at Noah. Are you hearing me? Well, you must follow instructions. What has God said to you? You stick with it. You keep following what he has said. You stay with what he has said. And why does he say things like that? Why did he say, go around for 6 days? Why didn't he just collapse it on the first day? Even half a day, self. Why didn't he just say, just even come before the gate and just say, hey, glory to God. And that thing will fall flat. Because he wants us to learn endurance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Is it April of 1 Corinthians 10 now? It says, now you will have need of confidence. Don't cast away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. Great recompense of reward. He said, for if we have done the will of God, we will need to be able to stand to be able to receive that which God has promised us. Part of the big problems we have is that we're not able to stand and hold on to what God has said. Are you with me? The late Jerry Savell he told a story that I like very much. And he said, you know, for years, he said one day they were looking for ministry property, headquarters. He said, and God spoke to him and he said, you see that property there, that land? God said, I give it to you. He said, that's yours, it's for the ministry. And Jerry Savell said, Lord, I thank you, I receive it, I believe it's ours. He said they had no money. He said, and he looked at that land, and that property was bought over, if I remember correctly, by 7 different owners. He said, so every year he was thanking God. God, I thank you because you have given us that property. You said you gave us that property, and he will see. Somebody will buy it in front of them. And he will say, this now is now owned by blah, blah, blah. He said, but God, you said you gave us the property. God said, yeah, I said so. He said, I've not changed my mind. I said, that is yours. He said, then Lord, I thank you because it's ours. He said, those people go bankrupt. Then another one bought it. I said, God, you said that is our property. And God said, yeah, it's your property. He said, and he watched that property go through 7 different owners until the 7th one couldn't build it and the company went bust. And eventually, the government took it over and they came to him, or the realtors that were in charge of it, and they came to him and they said, you know what, the government has looked at it and they don't know why, but everybody around here who is buying this property can't seem to be able to develop the property. They don't have money. They all go bankrupt. They can't do anything with it. And you are the only one around here that seems to be surviving. This is only your ministry that seems to be surviving around here. You have been there ever since. He says, so they have asked us to ask you to make us an offer. He said, and he asked God, and what God had told him was that, I've given you that property and you will buy it for whatever I tell you you buy it for. So those ones contacted him and said, the owners have said we should ask you to make an offer. He said, okay, great. And he told them, he said, this is how much we're going to pay for it. He said, all the debt on it will be canceled. All the mineral rights will be ours. He said, the editor said, no. Okay, you are asking for ridiculous. These are the ridiculous offer. I can't take it by. He said, but I thought you said they told you to come and ask what we will offer. He said, go and tell them that is the offer. And the guy came back and said, I can't believe this. They said, yes. Are you with me? After seven different owners, whatever God says stands. Are you still there, anybody? The second reason why God says it, and he seems like he's trying your endurance, he's giving instructions. Why didn't he just say something simple? Why didn't he just do it right away? Is that God wants to win you over and get you totally dependent upon him. Are you with me? So when the Israelites had the encounter with manna in that Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, what God did with them, God told them all kinds of instructions. He told them, when you see that manna fall on the ground, he said, when you go there, collect for 6 days. He bought the set, but the 7 day is the Sabbath. He said, don't collect on the seventh. He said, on the 6th day, you will collect enough for 2 days, because on the Sabbath, you are not to work. Don't go and collect anything. Don't go out. But the first time the thing rained there, some people were thinking, hey, we are seeing food. We haven't had food like this in a long time. And on the 7th day, in fact, on the 7th day, they went and they packed. On the 6th day, they packed and they kept. And it began to stink. And God said, no, you have to follow my instructions. I need the instructions of God get you to a place of dependence. God is trying to push you to the place where you know that all you need in life is God's word. Are you hearing me? Listen, that's what Jesus was referring to when he began to speak in Matthew chapter 4. And he was talking to the devil, and the devil said, command this stone to be turned to bread. And he said, no. He said, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Old Testament reference for that statement is that encounter with manna. That God was saying, this is how you do it. And guess what? When they began to follow God's instructions, he said, you will collect according to the number of people in the household. On the 6th day, you will collect enough for 2 days. If you collect enough for 2 days, then you'll find out that will want, because you are collecting by instruction, it will not get spoiled. On the 7 day, it's preserved, no fridge. But if you try to go, they went out to look on the 7th day, the first time they found nothing. God said, but if you collect on the 6th day, like I said, ordinarily, he said, collect enough for each day. Okay, meaning that all of the days, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, collect enough for each day. God was teaching them dependence upon him. But each day, give us this day our daily bread. He was telling them, once I speak, it will take care of your every situation. That's all you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, it will take care of itself. As long as you have my word. Are you still there? And when they followed the instruction, the Bible says when they collected, I like to teach on that story of manna. He said when they collected, they collected according to the members of the household. And the Bible says when they collected accordingly, the manna was the exact amount required for all the children of Israel. There was no wastage. What does that mean? God knows every detail of their lives. He knew how much the little children will eat in that house. He knew how much the adults will eat, including the ones that can swallow a mountain. God had everything worked out such that when they collected according to instruction, it was just exact. Wow! Are you with me, anybody? And I hear you say, follow God's instructions. God's instructions teach you endurance. James chapter 1, verse 2. He said, now count it all joy when you fall into diverse kinds of temptations. Why? Because the trial of your faith works patience. Are you hearing me? And at the end of the day, he said, let that patience have its perfect work. And so that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So God will give you instructions. And those instructions will teach you patience. And at the end of the day, you'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Are you with me? Number 3, you will have to learn how to shout. You have to learn how to shout. Again, Pastor Bidi was talking about this morning. As he was teaching, I was getting excited because I knew the things God had said that I'd written down this morning. You'll have to learn how to shout. It was Wigglesworth who said, no man can doubt if you will learn to shout. Meaning that there is no doubt. The moment you begin to speak out boldly, doubt flees. Are you hearing me? The reason why many of us are still struggling is that we are whispering God's word. Kennedy Yegi was teaching somewhere and he said, I cannot have the flu. I cannot be sick. I will not die. And one man came and said, if I were you, I would not talk like that. Oh. And he said, why? He said, because the devil will hear you. Yegi said, that's exactly who I want to hear me. That's exactly the person I'm saying it for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No man can doubt if he will learn to shout. If you learn to shout in praise, if you learn to shout God's word, then doubt, it becomes more and more impossible for you. Are you still with me? In Acts chapter 16, they were locked up in prison. And the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. And the prisoners heard them, so it was not silent. Are you hearing me? They were saying it out loud. They were singing it out loud. They were praying it out loud. They were not quiet about it. They believed in their God. They rejoiced in their God. And they were not quiet about it. The prisoners heard them. And after a while, God also just said, hey, this is getting very exciting. And as God was moving, the prison began to shake. And all of the shackles fell off. And the prison doors opened. Are you with me? Mark 11, when Jesus was going and he saw the fig tree. He looked at that fig tree, he thought there was going to be fruit on it, but there was none. The Bible says, and he said to the fig tree, no man will eat fruit from you evermore. The Bible says, and the disciples heard him. The next day, they were coming by and Peter said, Master, see the tree that you caught. If he said, hey, no man will ever eat from you, fruit from you again, he wouldn't have... I've stopped to say, Master! Are you hearing me? No man can doubt if he'll learn to shout. It was also Smith Wigglesworth that was teaching in his book, Ever Increasing Faith. And he told the story how he walked out, went to the bus stop and waiting for the bus. And a lady came out of her house. And a little dog followed. He was shaking his, wagging his tail and following and following. And the lady said, hey, go back home, go back home. Shoo, 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 go home. Shoo, shoo, go home. And the dog kept following, kept following, kept following. And then they got to the bus stop. The dog was still standing there. The lady, hey, go home, go home, go home, go home, go home. The bus will soon be here. And the dog will wag his tail. And he said, go home. And the dog will wag it more. And he said, go home. And the dog will wag it more. And then the bus showed up on the street. And they said, go! And the dog turned and took off running. As Wigglesworth was shouted, I said, that's exactly how you ought to treat the devil. Don't say, devil, devil, you know me, I don't trouble you. Set my is you, Allah, Pessy. As a big lies, Allah, as a don't be talking, talking. Me, I don't talk like that, too. Leave me alone. You know, that's what they call what? Monkey sense. Abi? Monkey sense, you know, monkey sense. They were chasing the monkey. They were trying to kill the monkey. The monkey was jumping, running, 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 running everywhere. And they were not giving up. He goes this way, they follow him. He goes this way, they follow him. And finally, the monkey reached somewhere and he covered his eyes. He said, if I can't see them, they can't see me. Are you with me? Many believers are operating by monkey sense. The devil, may I don't trouble you. May I go jelly. Even on my prayer, I don't. It's just simple, simple prayer. I thank God for what he has done. I thank him for this on my life. I don't pray no intercession for anybody. I don't bind. I don't lose. So please, go another way. The troublesome Christians are elsewhere, not here. So don't trouble my life. Are you still with me? As I close, I remember many years ago, I think it was 1993, when we had that election. Then. And we're preparing. I was green in medical school. And we're preparing, and all of a sudden went to class that day, and the lecturer announced there will be a test the following week. Test the following week. I wasn't ready, you know. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it. And something rose within me one day. We stepped out of that lecture hall, and I stood there. I wasn't conscious of anybody around me. And I said, "The test is canceled." I just said it out of my spirit. Something rose deep within me, and I just said it. The test is hereby canceled. I didn't even know who didn't hear me. Until they announced, I think it was the following day, they announced that there will be public holiday on that date, so that people can go and register to vote. It had never happened before. They just suddenly announced and said, there will be public holiday. And somebody came and said, "Ha, you said it too. That's how you just canceled our test." Are you with me? No man can doubt if you will learn to shout. Let's stand on our feet. So God told them on that seventh day, when you go around seven times, shout! Shout! Get excited and shout! God will stand in God's presence sometimes and stand and praise him over his word and get to the place where you are just shouting. And we were hearing that, and you are just shouting. There are times I'm reading the Bible and I just start getting excited. Sometimes I start laughing. Sometimes I'm there and I just stand up for a moment and I pace around the room and I'm praising God and I'm thanking him. Why? I haven't seen the thing in the physical, but I've seen it because his word has come to me. I want you to look tonight and just thank God. Thank God. Thank God. What has he said to you? What are the instructions? What's the word? Listen, Jericho might be securely shut up, but God doesn't consider the look of Jericho before he says what he says. And what he says will break down the wall of Jericho. What he says will break it down. It doesn't make a difference. convictions of God. I believe God is working on growth tonight. As I prayed this morning, I heard him say growth, 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 growth will disappear. You know, tonight, growth, internal, external, growth will disappear. So if you've had any growth in your body, I want you to come out very quickly. Any growth in, on your body. I remember years ago, God laid that on my heart. As I said it, somebody had a very painful boil in his armpit and it just disappeared. The guy started to check, said, growth of any sort, boil, whatever it might be, God said growth. You have any growth, you felt something swelling in or on your body, just step out very quickly. Let me pray with you. Makat Oshta Brahande Sokro Bosto Beladishta Brahande Lege Sopraka Boshta Brahande Sokro Boso Beli Lege La Braka Doshta Brigilidishta Bahasa Balade. Oh, Lord, be magnified. Father, thank you. That's all I know you said. Thank you because, according to your instructions tonight, I rebuke that growth. I command it to disappear, dissolve, just disintegrate by the power of God. And in the name of Jesus, let it just go. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Your power goes right through him from the crown of his head. Yeah, that's it. Just went right through you. To the soles of his feet, and that growth completely dissolves and disappears now by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. Whatever that is, I command it to dissolve and disappear. Dissolve and disappear by the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the flow of that voltage of power right through it. Just right through it. Melts it, disappears it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray that even for those who are online, growths disappear according to the instruction and the command and the word of the head of the church. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Marcos de Brahan de Secretish, Matoso Fredista, Pradida, Brahando Soclo Bosto Veladi, Clegedosta Brahende, Esto Brali, Brasta, Brando, Este Brasti, Facala Brahande. He will make a way in the desert, in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. That means impossibilities become possible. It means that you may not be able to see it, but God will do it. He said there may be no rain, there may be no storm, there may be nothing, yet the valleys will be full of rain, yet the valleys will be full of water. So what naturally should fill it up might not happen, but God says, I will do the things beyond or outside of the natural, with the exception of the natural. There will be nothing in the natural, yet it shall happen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
You may not see wind, you may not see rain, yet these ditches shall be filled with water. The next scripture says, this is but a simple matter. It's a simple matter with the Lord. It's a simple matter with the Lord. Stop walking by sight. Start walking by faith. Start seeing through the eyes of God. Start believing what you have heard down. This is a simple matter with the Lord. It's a simple matter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Let's lift our hands and give God praise. Oh, we thank you. Praise you. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Praise Tikada Nebada Shitaya Labrahane. Praise Tepaya Karadambali Hedebo Sahate. Prase Tebade Shandala Brahase Tefreket Abediaka. Magada Baranda Labahase Tepetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapetapet I see the Lord strengthening someone's hands. It looks as though everything you have handled has been slipping off your hands, dropping off your hands. But now the Lord is strengthening your hands. Now they are no longer falling. They are no longer dropping. In the name of Jesus, you are starting and you are finishing. You are seeing things through. In the name of Jesus. Sante paya hendala bahase. Kibate padabanziata mendala bahase tofreheke de badiaka. Rasa tabashata yabalanga dabahate pekediada. Rebedabadiaka rebedia sataka the helper. Banze panda lika yanda lefehete. Basitaya mangrezotopa. There is a stirring. There is a stirring. There is a stirring. There is a stirring. Mahanga du salta paya badiva lahanda la bahate. Redze bale brade badadia sata paya kanda balahata kete pekedia sata peketia. Evete peda dende brosota pashianda lambraha sata kadiada. Rende dede brogo dobo duba sata prekete. I see a number of people that have been frustrated, but I see help arising for you. Help is arising. Help is arising. Help is arising. Help is arising. You are saying from where? Strangers are building your walls. Ayete kanda labahase. Pataya katapa lebe ketepekedia. You have fixed your gaze on some people that are supposed to help you. No. Take your eyes off them. Lift your eyes onto the hills. Lift your eyes onto the Lord. Harando setekete. Help is arising unto you from Zion. Help is arising unto you from his presence. Eina tabayakate pregede bede bragada badaga hate. Haradandosa ante paka tayaka lebadiakata. Erede bediakate diasata. I see this help arising. It's arising. You've been frustrated. You've been frustrated, but now help has come. Help has come. Help has come. Help has come. Ma anto sete bashadaya la bahate. Reda de de brogo double sita. It is raining all around me. I can't feel it. It's a lot of rain. I feel like a river wants to flow out of someone. Just yield. Better. As I'm still speaking, is there. Come. Empire today, Palia Fia today, Heza Kariota, Erato Posa, Tabaranda Bahakataya. Ambrotobosita Haya, Retekete Prohase, Frose, Harante Paya Padia Tapaya Palaba, Renda. Nenda dosa maten. Something very precious to you was withdrawn from you. This is something that I'm discussing you pain. It was just withdrawn from you. This is something that happened very recent. There was just that withdrawal, and it has caused your heart to sink. God is restoring. Who is the person? Just lift your hand and put it down. God, okay, I've seen you. God is restoring. And God is compensating you. That same thing that has brought you pain, God is causing your mouth to be filled with laughter. And your tongues with singing. And they will say among the heathens that God has done great things for you. Because of the truth, God is doing great things for you, and it will cause you to laugh. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you. We give you glory. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, we have worshiped.